Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. It is time for Dane Brugler to join us. He's at DP Brugler on Twitter, draft expert. Writes for TheAthletic.com, and you can hear his Trust the Tape podcast with Jeff Kavanaugh every week on the internet. He joins us live from the Star right here, actually. He's up doing some work around the Cowboys today. Segment's brought to you by 1-800-LAWYERS. If you've been hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the office of Franklin Frankel right now, 1-800-LAWYERS. Franklin Frankel, Principal Office, Dallas, Texas, the official lawyers of the Tolo. It's brought to you by GetMortgageReady.com as well. And a good morning to you, Dane. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Good morning, guys. We officially draft season. So up at the Star getting some work done and got the draft show coming up here at 11 a.m. So it's going to be a fun next few months.
Okay, let's start with non-draft content, with college football, as every quarterback is leaving where they were and going to new places. This is free a fun agency. Part of the year, isn't it?
It's college free agency. It's they opened Pandora's box, and so we're going to see how the domino effect of this, where it takes us. But yeah, for right now, it's worked out okay for some programs, specifically Oklahoma, and they've got a new quarterback now.
Yeah, so Jalen Hurts coming from Alabama to go be the quarterback at Oklahoma. Now, bringing in transfers has worked out pretty well for them, as two of them in a row have won the Heisman. I do wonder, though, with Jalen Hurts, because we've been talking about him a lot, he doesn't throw as well as Kyler did or as well as Baker Mayfield did. And I feel like if Oklahoma doesn't have the best offense in the country, let's say they have the 15th best offense in the country, that might lose them four games with the way that defense plays. How important is it how well Hurts plays for them?
It will really be interesting to see how Lincoln Riley adjusts the play calling because, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, they were pass-first quarterbacks. Be able to sit in the pocket, survey the field, go through his reads. And even when, the first read's not there, second read's not there, and you're Kyler Murray, you're still sitting back there. You're not tucking and running. And it's kind of the opposite with Jalen Hurts. So how will Lincoln Riley adjust the scheme, adjust the play calling? We're going to see more RPO-style stuff. That's going to be an interesting part of all this because, when Jalen Hurts, I know he had some success, garbage time, fourth quarters this year. But 2 years ago when he was the starter and you're evaluating Calvin Ridley, throws were all over the place. Really, it kind of helped Calvin Ridley because he showed he could, climb the ladder a little bit. He can spear the ball away from his frame because he was dealing with an erratic quarterback in terms of accuracy and touch. And so with Jalen Hurts now going to Oklahoma, how will that Lincoln Riley influence affect what they do on offense and as a team? Because we have to remember, too, Oklahoma's losing four of their five offensive linemen. That was the top offensive line in college football this year, and that was a big part of Kyler Murray's success. So with four of those five guys gone, how will the new offensive line adapt? Marquise Brown is gone. They've got guys like Trey Sermon, C.D. Lamb, some of the top skill players coming back. But how that offensive identity changes under the new quarterback with Lincoln Riley will definitely be telling.
Now, with the University of Texas, it's a lot of fun when you find your quarterback, as they clearly did this year, and they've got a really, really good one, but it also means everybody else leaves. Do we have any idea where anybody's going?
I don't think so yet. It's still kind of it's a fluid situation with Shane Buechele. I think that most expect him to transfer, or at least, put a few feelers out there, go in the transfer portal, which is kind of the buzz this offseason is this transfer portal where quarterbacks and anybody can enter this portal and basically be recruited. So teams know you're out there and you're interested, you're willing to listen. So it doesn't mean you have to transfer, it doesn't mean you have made a final decision, but it's at least good to keep your options open. And so, like we said at the top, it's basically college football free agency. And for Texas, you know, you like to have depth at the position, especially with a quarterback like Ellinger, who we know how he likes to run the ball, and he's not going to slide. He's going to take hits. He's been able to stay durable. He's a really tough kid. There's no question. But injuries happen, especially when you take as many hits as he has. So you want depth at the position, but Texas is a little fluid situation right now.
So you've got a couple of new things out on The Athletic today. One of which is your top 50, and then I believe your top 10 by position for the NFL draft. With the Cowboys picking 58th, I know in theory you'd have to go to the 58th best player, but that's not how this works. Somebody in that top 50 will be sitting there. Mm-hmm. What position groups are the deepest, and how does that match up with the Cowboys?
I think it matches up pretty favorably. If you look at tight end, you look at the interior, the defensive line, obviously we'll have to see what they do in free agency and some moves that'll impact the team needs. But I think it matches up fairly well with where they are at 58. And they're going to be in a position where they're going to get impatient, sitting there at 58, you know, kind of twiddling their thumbs, tapping their feet, waiting for that pick to get to them. So, it's going to be interesting talking about the trade-up scenarios. And, you know, if a stud tight end like, say a Noah Fant would fall a little bit. T.J. Hawkinson, I think he's going to go first round. Noah Fant's a little more up in the air. He's probably going to go in the first round. But if he were to fall a little bit into the late 30s, is that where you make a move to go up and get your stud tight end? Defensive line, you know, we know traditionally this is a team that likes to invest in defensive linemen later on, third, fourth round, even later than that, you know, getting an Antoine Woods, that type of player where you don't have to invest a top 100 pick. But with, you know, Chris Richard having more and more of an influence on this defense, will that philosophy change a little bit? And in this defensive line class, where it's a very strong group, one of these strong defensive linemen, Isaiah Bugs from Alabama, Dexter Lawrence from Clemson, could one of those defensive linemen fall a little bit and would the Cowboys be interested? So the second round is going to be, I think, a good spot for what they need. It's just more of a question, do they stay pat at 58? Do they look to move around a little bit? Even though they don't have a first-round pick, there's still pretty a good amount of intrigue with that first pick for Dallas.
So with the way that your top 50 at this point stacks up, quarterback is king in the NFL, mm-hmm. obviously. So I know I believe Kyler Murray at 32 and maybe another quarterback down there at 31. But how much earlier than that will they go?
It's always the conversation leading up to the draft and the toughest thing to really peg. I think Dwayne Haskins from Ohio State, he was came in at number 16 on the draft board, top quarterback. He's the favorite to be the first quarterback drafted, but how early? The last 20 years, we've seen at least one quarterback go in the top five every year except for one. So history tells us one of these quarterbacks are going to go top five. It's just, are we going to see a trade-up, or how's that all going to play out? Next week at the Senior Bowl is really going to be a big step for trying to figure out these quarterbacks in the pecking order. On the North team next year, or next week at the Senior Bowl, coached by the Raiders and John Gruden, you have Daniel Jones from Duke and Drew Locke from Missouri. It'll kind of be like last year when we had Baker Mayfield and Josh Allen on the same team. So during practices, you could see throw after throw, a great opportunity to really compare these guys back to back. And that's what we're going to see with Daniel Jones and Drew Locke. Both appeared in my top 10 of my most recent mock draft. On the board, my big board, I have them 28 and 32. I think that, quarterbacks always get pushed up, and we'll see how Jones and Locke fare one after the other next week. Good chance to compare them. Good chance that we figure out more about not only just the pecking order, but how early they go. Do they go top 10, or are they more mid to late first round guys?
So the Cowboys have probably already sank too many resources into offensive line, but I'm going to throw a curveball here and say, what if with Lyle Collins going in the last year of his deal, and me personally, I don't think he's necessarily a $9 or $10 million player, which is what they're paying him. If you're looking for somebody to replace that, how is the offensive tackle group that might make it into the second round?
Well, we know, just kind of like quarterbacks, offensive tackles, they're going to get pushed up. Because all 32 teams, they need offensive line depth. I don't care who you are, you're always looking for offensive line depth. And so that's why we're going to see at the top guys like Jonah Williams, Cody Ford, Greg Little. These guys are going to get pushed up into the top 15. And then we'll have to see the domino effect. Will that cause that second tier of offensive tackles to get pushed up into that late first round? A guy like Andre Dillard from Washington State, left tackle, he's about 6'5", 290 pounds. Eager to see what he weighs in at next week. at the Senior Bowl? How long are his arms? He's the top senior offensive lineman this year, and I gave him a second-round grade. If he were to be available in that second round, I'd be all over him. I think he's an NFL starter and a guy who could be end up being a first-round pick when it's all said and done. Max Sharping from Northern Illinois, another guy that'll be at the Senior Bowl. I'm a big believer in his skill set. He played left and right tackle. I think there's a lot to work with there. And an interior guy, but he also has experience outside of tackle, Michael Dieter from Wisconsin. 54 straight starts. We know he's a durable, tough, you know, Wisconsin breeds those guys. But he has double-digit starts over his career at Wisconsin at tackle, guard, and center. So you know you have the versatility, and that fits well whether you want to keep him inside or push him inside or outside.
Dane, we've talked to former offensive linemen that watch the Cowboys, and they believe that Connor Williams should go to tackle next year and Lyle Collins should go to guard next year. From what you've seen from those two guys, would you make the switch this offseason to move Connor Williams outside and Lyle inside?
I think you definitely have to experience or experiment with it. And that's what training camp is for, to figure something like that out. You know, Connor Williams, up and down first year as a rookie. I mean, it's kind of what you expect, especially for a guy who, you know, the big question with him was play strength. You know, did he have enough of the core strength, the ability to, you know, drop his anchor, you have the base strength to hold up against some of the bullies in the interior of the NFL? And, you know, we got some mixed results there. So he's more of a guy that, you know, let him play in space, you know, let him stretch out his stride, his base, and, you know, he can hold up. And I'd love to see him outside of tackle to see how he could perform. And kind of the same thing with Collins, because he is a little more powerful with his base and what he can do in terms of stonewalling guys, using his hands, a little more efficient in that area. So during training camp, love to see them experiment with that. You know, I don't think we've seen anything that would tell us that they're going to do that or they plan to. But at the same time, it can't hurt to, you know, at least experiment a little bit with it. So if one of those guys goes down, maybe you have a little, you know, versatile options where you can move some of those guys inside, outside, and play around with your best five on the field.
Dane, the last time the Cowboys had a balanced and deep roster, it was the last decade, and they decided they'd take a draft off and just take special teamers. What is the optimal way to approach this when you're going into a draft and your needs have really been slimmed down? You don't have a glaring weakness. Does it make it more important at that point to take best player available in your view?
Yeah, I think so. And I think you need to be aggressive, you know, and sitting back waiting at 58, you know, maybe that is the best way to go, but you need to be aggressive and think about, okay, who's going to help you this year and for the long term, because you've got a lot of big decisions coming up with, you know, Dak Prescott, who I think we all agree they're going to extend him at some point. But you need to, you have a window right now. So go be aggressive. Go attack that window. Do you need to use future, you know, first round draft pick, second round draft pick? Go back, use a next year's one and go up in the first round and go get somebody. I mean, just be aggressive. I think, you know, you can always trade next year's one and just do that for the next few years. You know, there have been GMs in the league that have done that. Bobby Bethard used to do that. So it's something that I think hopefully they don't kind of just, you know, take the foot off the pedal and say, okay, well, you know, we'll get a solid depth guy in the late second round, and, you know, we'll you know, see how that goes. Hopefully they, you know, stay aggressive and try to get better through the draft.
So how about this one? How about if you've drafted so well, you have more players than you can pay, and you trade those players or a player who's still on a rookie deal to get back into the draft?
Yeah.
Do you like that approach?
Every option should be on the table, and especially when you have, and they've drafted well. So, you know, the team like the Cowboys, where you have a lot of young guys who aren't necessarily breaking the bank, those are valuable contracts. And we don't see in the NFL a lot of player-for-player trades or player-for-draft-pick trades. You know, we just don't see it a lot, at least compared to the NBA and baseball and all that. But at the same time, be creative. And, you know, I don't know if that necessarily means getting rid of a high-profile guy, but in order to get something, you have to give up something. And so I think it's at least an option, but you know, I don't know. Is this organization creative enough to do it? I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, great point. Could Hurts be challenged by that guy that's coming in from Arizona? Is it Spencer Rattler, the hotshot recruit?
Yeah, the kid that Lincoln Riley told, oh, yeah, we're not taking a transfer quarterback. Yeah, you know, it's I think for Lincoln Riley's perspective, you know, he knows that it's probably unlikely that a true freshman is going to come in and, you know, light the world on fire. So Jalen Hurts is basically...
Tell that to Clemson, sir.
Well, okay. A once-in-a-generation talent like Hunter Lawrence. He doesn't... I think he knows Spencer Rattler is not Hunter Lawrence. But with Rattler, I mean, he's an undersized... I watched him in the All-America, the Army All-American game, a little undersized. Jalen Hurts is the buffer, you know, so Jalen Hurts is going to be your starter next year. And then Spencer Rattler, whether he redshirts or he, you know, sees some time, he's going to be able to take over in 2020 and be your starting quarterback and probably be a much better quarterback than what you're going to see as a freshman. So I understand the thinking by Lincoln Riley. It's just Oklahoma is probably going to take a little bit of a step back next year.
All right. There he is. Dane Brugler with us every Thursday at 10:20. Thanks. Have fun with that draft show.
All right, thanks, guys.
There he goes. He's Dane Brugler, at DP Brugler on Twitter, by
everybody,
the way.
Everybody, check out the Trust the Tape podcast that we did. What day was that? Yesterday or the day before? It's on iTunes. It's on radio.com. It's all over the place. It's on 105.3thefan.com. We are looking to be millionaires, and it helps if people are subscribed.
Oh,
so
yes,
go ahead
yeah.
and Google up Trust the Tape.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.